2 Kings 14. I want to read several passages to go along with this first chapter of Jonah that we want to consider in some detail tonight, which will bring out some remarkable resemblances and contrasts. First of all, in 2 Kings 14, let's read about a previous instruction of the Lord to Jonah. Verse 14:25. He restored the border of Israel from the entrance of Hamath unto the sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spake by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was of Gath-Hepheth. So, not one reference to Jonah in the Old Testament, but two. And here is a commission that God gave to Jonah that was carried out, and it was something that Jonah was pleased to preach, and it came to pass. Now, let's look in the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 4. Our Savior, after a long day's work, in verse 35, has this said about him. And on that day, when even was come, he saith unto them, let us go over unto the other side. And leaving the multitude, they take him, the Lord Jesus, with them, even as he was, in the boat. And other boats were with him. And there ariseth a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the boat, insomuch that the boat was now filling. And he himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he awoke, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you fearful? Have ye not yet faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And now Matthew chapter 5. Verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on the stand, and it shineth unto all that are in the house. Even so let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now turn back to Jonah chapter 1 while I read this brief passage from 1 Corinthians 5. It is actually reported that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not even among the Gentiles. And now, in Jonah chapter 1, let me read that chapter to you. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God. And they cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it unto them. But Jonah was gone down into the innermost parts of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is come upon us? What is your occupation? And whence comest thou? What is your country? And what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, What is this that thou hast done? For the man knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get them back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Wherefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all the historical events that you give us in the Word of God, the experiences that evil men went through, and the experiences that good men went through, and good men who were disobedient went through. We thank you for every portion and for what it contains for us. And we've read several portions, our God, and we understand a little bit more about Jonah, and we understand about our Lord, and we pray that we shall understand about your dealings with us as well, our responsibilities to us and to the world, and whether we obey or disobey. So, from this portion already that thou hast shown us so many things, show us more and impress them upon our hearts, we pray. We thank you for the blessings of the day, our God, everything that you've done for us, and we look for further blessings this night. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Some prophets are brought to our attention, and they have no background. Unless you are a keen student, or unless somebody had told you, you never would have heard of Jonah before we read about him in the book that bears his name, but in 2 Kings 14, we read about Jonah and the way that God had used him in the past, that he was a prophet. It says he was a servant of the Lord in the book of Jonah. In the New Testament, it says he was a prophet. But in 2 Kings 14, it also tells us he was a prophet and that God spoke to him and gave him a message to deliver, and he delivered it, and that message came to pass. So he was not a prophet that had never been used of God. There may have been other occasions when God used this man. But tonight, when he's brought to our attention, it is in a light that is in contrast to what we have spoken of him in 2 Kings 14. Because this time, he is not sent to the children of Israel, but he is told to go to the heathen, to those that are the enemies of the people of God, and to preach a message of judgment against them. Well, this would not have been a difficult thing to do, except for Jonah knowing the nature of God, and it would be a good thing for him to thunder out the curses, the wrath that would fall upon this heathen people if God would carry out upon them what he carried out upon the children of Israel when he prophesied. But in the will of God, later on we'll see that Jonah knew the goodness of God as well as the severity of God. And because of that, he did not want to go because he feared that the goodness of God would spare these people whom he wanted to be destroyed. And so he decides to disobey the command of God and go by sea to Tarshish rather than by land to Nineveh. So here is this history of Jonah, the second time that God speaks to him, which is a warning to us. If you think of your life, have there been times when God guided you and told you to go, told you to speak, told you to do something that you were pleased to do and you obeyed God? You say, yes, I can remember that. Does it mean that having done it once, that when God speaks to you again, that you will do what God tells you to do, even if it is unpleasant to you and you do not want to speak the words that God has told you to speak? You see the difference. That we've done God's will once does not mean that we will do it again. And what is so sad is that we see one prophet after another being used mightily of God, like Elijah, this fearless prophet of God who becomes a coward, and like that prophet of God that went and spoke his judgment against the king, but God had told him not to return to that city. But then he was deceived into going back to that city. And so this is the danger, that like so many people, they do anything that God wants them to do if it pleases them. But if it does not please them, then they refuse to do it. This was the case of Jonah. And Jonah, instead of going and giving this message of judgment, which he said, this is not going to come to pass, he decided to flee from the presence of the Lord. Now that's a terrible thing. When a person is sick, when there is trouble, when in your family there are those that are having hard experiences and you do not know what's going to happen to them, you do not want to go from the presence of the Lord. There are times that we are not very near to the Lord, but there are other times when there is sickness, when there is fear of death, we want to be ever so near to the Lord so that we can lay hold on him and we can experience his nearness to us, and we feel in our hearts that God will listen to us if we speak to him. But Jonah did not want that nearness anymore. Why? Because if you are near to God and you want to hear comforting words of God, words that please you from God, you want to be in the presence of God. But if God has spoken to you hard words that are difficult to obey, you do not want to stay in His presence because He may speak more words to you that are unpleasant, that are hard to obey. And there is an uncomfortable feeling when you are in a state of disobedience and you are in the presence of God, whether it be in the land of Palestine, as at Gath-Hepher, where Jonah came from, whether it be in the temple, it makes no difference. There are places when we feel near to God, and then we leave these places and go where God is not. And that is what Jonah attempted to do. Now, I read you other portions because the fact that this is history, it is so evident from the way it describes Jonah's fleeing from the presence of the Lord. It tells us very ordinary things, that Jonah went down from Gath-Hepher to Joppa, the seaport, and he had a business transaction, and he paid the fare. How much is it to go to Tarshish? And he found out, and then he paid the fare, and then he went on board and went down into the innermost part of the ship, showing us that it's history. Folly, if it's a parable, if it's a myth, because all of these things are ordinary transactions of a man that is doing just what we read that he did do, and we take it to be historical and factual. Now, the thing is this. Jonah acts in a way that is so shameful, that is so contrary to what God's will is for His servants and His spokesman, that I read to you from 1 Corinthians 5 and from Matthew chapter 5. I could have read to you from Genesis chapter 18, which I may tell you about. But it says that you are the light of the world, and you are to shine with the light of the truth of God, the will of God. But it speaks about some that are the light of the world, putting their light under a bushel, under the bed, concealing it in some way. And it said, you are the salt of the earth. You are to preserve the lives of men, society. But if the salt has lost its savor, its saltiness, then it's fit for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot. Now let me ask you this. Do you think that when Jonah is fleeing from the presence of the Lord, disregarding the will of God, to give a message that will give a ray of hope to Nineveh, do you think that he is shining as the light of the world? You think that he is functioning as salt to preserve, because of the mercy of God, humanity? You say no. And that is what is so sad, that you and I, who are supposed to be light instead of shining, at times, as Peter, instead of shining, we conceal our light and we pretend that we do not even know Jesus of Nazareth. I pray that it hasn't been that we've gone so far that we deny that we know Jesus, but at the same time, when there is an opportunity to witness, we've kept quiet because people will find out who we are. And if that's so, then we failed as the light of the world. We've concealed our light, covered it in some way. And then, if the world is darkness, and we are the light of the world, how shall the world see? What illumination does it have if we, the servants of God who are light, cover our light and do not let it shine upon them? And at the same time, if the world is filled with corruption and you and I are constantly seeing the sins of the world, if we sin as they do, sin is disobedience. And Jonah is disobeying God. And so Jonah is just as much a sinner in disobeying God as they are when they disobey God and the commandments that he gives, that he expects his creatures to obey. So here is Jonah, and instead of being light and salt, he is darkness, and he is a savorless child of God. How sad. And another thing that is so remarkable, as you look at the story, it appears that Jonah has told them just why he is going on this voyage. It would be such a delightful thing if I had given my life to God to be a missionary, and I go on board a ship to take me to where God has sent me, whether it be China or Spain or France or some foreign country. It would be a wonderful thing if I went and told all those that were in charge of the ship that I was a servant of God, that he had called me, and I was going to carry the message of good news to all the world, because this is what God would want me to do. But it says that Jonah had told them he was fleeing from the Lord. I do not know if I could ever bring myself to tell men that. Why are you on this bus trip? Why are you on this train trip? Why are you on this plane? And if I were fleeing from God, I do not think that I would tell them. I would give some veiled answer and say, well, I want a change of scenery, and I thought it was good for me to leave where I was and go somewhere else for a while. I do not believe that I would tell them, I'm a servant of God, and God has told me where to go and what to say, but I have no intention of doing that. And so I'm going to distant parts from the presence of God. How could one who is truly a child of God speak that way to the heathen? And yet he does. Isn't it remarkable that we fail to tell them the truth of the grace of God and salvation, but Jonah is telling them all about his disobedience and why he is fleeing from God? And what could they say but this? Well, what kind of God is this whose commandments are so repulsive to you that you refuse to carry them out and you flee from his presence? He can't be much of a God if that is the God that you serve. Now, I read to you also from Mark chapter 4 to show you a remarkable resemblance between what happened to our Lord after he had finished speaking a day of parables, and when it says they took him with him as he was, it seems as if he were exhausted at the end of a day's work. And so he is so exhausted that because of serving God, he gets into the ship and he lies down, and immediately he falls into a deep sleep. Now contrast that with Jonah. At times we go to sleep because, as it says in Ecclesiastes, the sleep of a working man, one who labors, is sweet. Why? Because he's worked so hard and he has no trouble going to sleep. Long ago, I worked at a bakery, and I had to get up at something like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and I would work all day. And when I came home and I would attempt to pray to God, I would go to sleep on my knees. It wasn't difficult to go to sleep because I was exhausted. And here is the Lord Jesus, and he has served his God, and he is so exhausted because, being man, understand, he is thirsty and he is hungry and he is sleepy. And so now he needs sleep to replenish physically the strength that God has given him, the one who became flesh and dwelt among us. And so the Lord Jesus is sleeping because of weariness in doing the will of God. But in the case of Jonah, it may be like the apostles on one occasion. It says that when the Savior told them in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray with him, it said that they were sleeping for sorrow. They're sometimes just as the natural man, when he wants to drive out of his mind the responsibilities of life, the pains that he endures, he drowns out those thoughts with liquor, with drugs. Well, the disciples, when there was this sorrow of heart upon them, they were sleeping for sorrow. And here is Jonah, and why is he sleeping? It may be that he is indifferent to what he's done, and so he lies down and goes to sleep. But I would wonder, when the will of God has troubled me, I wonder if I could go to sleep. You try, but you toss and turn. But for some reason, it did not affect Jonah, and he lies down in the ship, and he goes to sleep. Now, this is what is reprehensible. That Jonah, who, as his servants today are told, reprove, rebuke, exhort, that's what the people of God are to do for those that are in error. But what is so embarrassing is that here are these heathen, aware of the danger of the storm, and they have to come and insult Jonah. He said, "Awake, your sleeper, and call upon your God." Can you imagine such a thing? A heathen man having to tell a prophet of God to awake out of sleep and go and pray to God that this danger that is upon them might be taken away. That is why I read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, certain sins were committed by the Christians in Corinth that were not even named among the Gentiles. And at times when God is pointing out good examples, he does not point to one like Peter. He does not point to ones like those in Corinth, but he has to point to this centurion. "I've not found so great faith, not in Israel." He points to the faith of that Syrophoenician woman. "O woman, great is thy faith." But he cannot point to the faith and obedience of his people. And just as in 1 Corinthians 5, there is a sin that isn't even practiced by the Gentiles, so here is a sin of this prophet Jonah that even these heathen have to rebuke him for. Now, think also, and this is why I wanted to read to you in Genesis chapter 18. I told you that we were salt and light to illumine and to preserve, to keep corruption from coming in and destroying mankind. In Genesis 18, it has been announced that God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And when Abram hears that, he goes into the presence of God and starts praying. And he says, "Lord, if there are 50 righteous men in Sodom, will you spare that city for 50 righteous men?" And God says, "Yes." "For 45, "Yes." "For 40, "For 30. And finally, he says, "Lord, if you find 10 righteous men in Sodom, will you spare the city?" And God says, "I will spare it for 10 righteous men." Now think of the contrast. The truth of God is this, that if America is preserved because of all of their sin, it's not only the mercy of God, but it is the presence of those made righteous by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the salt that preserve, and just as Abraham knew that, he said, "Lord, you're not going to destroy the wicked with the righteous, that be it far from thee. The judge of all the earth shall do right." And so God says, "That is true. I will accept your prayer. If there are 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah," he said, "then I will preserve that city from destruction." And so here are we, the people of God, in the presence of sinners, and our presence is to preserve them. But the contrast is this. Here is a prophet of God in the presence of sinners, and instead of preserving them, instead of giving them the message of salvation and life, his presence is endangering their lives, and they have no hope of escaping as long as this servant of God is in their midst. How shameful. How can such a thing be? To think that I would be among my fellow man and my very presence among them is endangering their lives. Why? Because God has his hand upon me and my will is not going to be done, but God's will is going to be done. And unless I do God's will, then all that are with me in this ship are going to be destroyed. How sad. Now think of your life. Think of your presence among those with whom you work. Is your presence there bringing blessing, or is it bringing danger to them? What God is teaching us is this, that just as we are salt and light, and we are to illumine and preserve, at the same time, we can turn out to be salt that's lost its savor. And even beyond that, not only can we not preserve, but we add to the corruption and hasten the judgment of God upon the world in whose presence we are to prevent the wrath of God from falling. And so this is what Jonah has to learn. God is so good and allowing them to find out what's causing all of this harm. For this reason, even the natural man, if they know that a servant of God, a prophet, is in their midst and harm is falling, why, they would never think that it was being caused by this servant of God. They would think that one of them, sinners, that they would be the cause of it. And so they cast lots. And God, in his goodness, has the lot to fall upon Jonah. And they still are unable to believe that Jonah is the cause of this great storm that's come upon the sea. And so they go and ask him. And when they start questioning Jonah, then he lays bare not only that he's fleeing from the presence of the Lord, but who he is, where he comes from, what his people are, and about this God in whom he believes. How sad that this is the way that the truth of God is brought from the heart of Jonah, because of the endangering of the lives of those with whom he is in that ship. And to show you again, to show you the superiority of concern of the heathen beyond Jonah. Jonah wants Nineveh to be destroyed. And yet when Jonah tells them that I am the cause that this storm has come upon the sea, and the only way to have this sea to become calm is for me to be cast into the sea, it says that when they heard that, here is a prophet of God, they row with all their might to bring this ship to land to save this man's life rather than cast him into the sea and have him to drown. But it's impossible for them to do it. And then they go to God and they say to God, bring not this man's blood upon us. We are innocent, O God. He has told us this and we do not want to perish. And so finally, having done everything they could as heathen to preserve a disobedient prophet of God, they're not able to do any more, and so they cast him into the sea. Each one had been praying to his God, and thank God for this, that the Lord, in spite of our disobedience, in spite of being contrary to what he would have us to be, his will can be done. They learned that this God, Jehovah, the God who made heaven and earth, the sea, this is the one that's causing the storm. And now they think about their gods, and their gods are not worthy to be spoken of. And so when they cast Jonah into the sea, and suddenly there is this calm, then they know that the Lord, he is God. And so instead of praying to their God from then on, they pray to the Lord God of Jonah. And they offer sacrifice and they make vows. So this is the goodness of God. He blesses when we do His will, but in spite of our disobedience, He blesses also when we refuse to do His will. And these are some of the lessons in the life of Jonah. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we pray that You shall forgive us when so often our lives are like the life of Jonah. Our God, we would wonder if He were truly a prophet of God, if He had any understanding of Your will, of Your nature, of Your love. But He did, our God, and we see that His will was opposed to Yours. Your Son is pictured in Jonah the prophet, but how different is Your Son? Your Son loved, and Your Son came to seek and to save that which was lost. We see what this man Jonah has done. So forgive us, our Father, for being like Jonah and like Peter and like Ananias and Sapphira. We pray, our Father, that we shall be like Thy Son, and that whatever Your will is for us to do, whatever the message is that You want us to give the heathen, as Your Son said, I came down from heaven not to do My will, but the will of Him who sent Me, and I do always those things that please My Father. We pray, our God, that our lives shall be the same. Help us to learn from Jonah for good, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.